The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
We are on to week 7. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, October 15th, halfway through the month. Me and Matthew hanging out with you today, recapping Monday Night Football and talking about waiver claims and so much more. Matthew, one thing I admire about you is that you are A, unafraid to make a bet, and B, when you do make your bets,
yes, sir,
and you lose those bets, you pay up on them.
I do.
Yep, we go to a couple of years ago. You treated us to a beautiful dinner, Ruth's Chris, I believe it was then.
Yeah,
in D.C. Terrific. We had a great time.
100%. And I mean, like, so it wasn't just you, because I made the bet with Stefania.
Right,
I made the bet with Stefania.
Yes,
but I picked up the tab for you, for Secret Squirrel. Secret Squirrel brought a friend.
I got hammered that night. Yeah, it was great.
I picked up the tab for Secret Squirrel's friend.
You're very generous, you know that?
Well, just whatever. I lost the bet. I lost the bet, and it's fine. I think everyone is generous. I like to think everyone is generous. But yes, I don't know where this is going, but you are correct. It is important to me that, like, when I lose a bet, I pay up. That's important to me.
Daniel, is that something that's important to you in life?
It is, unfortunately, important to me in life as well, Field Yates.
Along those lines, there was a wager made going into last night's game between the Lions and the Packers.
That's right. Secret Squirrel, of course, is a lifelong fan of the Detroit Lions.
Right, correct. He sure is. And the Lions lose that game last night to the Packers and the refs 23-22. The rule was, or the bet was, whichever team lost, the person who roots for that team had to wear the opposing helmet for the entirety of today's podcast.
That is accurate. Which means that I get to don this Green Bay Packers helmet. I may as well just put on a referee's hat for what it's worth.
Hey, no, I'm glad you said get to instead of have to.
Also,
as a
part of it, I also owe Kyle the two most boring cereals on the face of this planet, Wheaties and Total.
Those are the two cereals we're going.
Breakfast of Champions. I mean, that's how we roll in Green
Bay.
That's
a good point. That's right. And welcome back to Kyle Soppy. Now, Mr. Kyle Soppy, how about that? Or
appreciate
I guess she's
that.
Miss Marisa Soppy now, right?
She didn't go with the last name, but yeah, we're married. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. She did not go with that yet. Maybe that'll change. Who cares? You guys are married. That is important. Congratulations and welcome back, Kyle Soppy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And it was the wedding,
Kyle,
everything
so you are...
you'd ever hoped for.
Yeah, give us some details,
like,
on the wedding.
Like, we have,
whatever. Don't go crazy. You know, just a couple of seconds here. Give us some highlights here. Well, first question. Let me just ask you this.
This might be.
Are you still married? Has the marriage? I mean, because it happened Saturday night.
Saturday night,
it's
long
Tuesday
drive
morning.
Home.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, no,
we
we're
had
good.
Almost a near fumble there. It's the second time you've had a near water spill accident that could have caused major damage, Matthew.
So anyway, whatever. So it's Tuesday morning. A lot can happen. Obviously, all the 06010 groupies throwing themselves at Thirsty Kyle.
Sure.
But
sure.
As of this moment, you still married?
Yeah, we're good. I mean,
right,
13 years of dating, we can survive like 2.5 days. So we're good.
Okay. All right. Two and a half days it is. Congratulations to that. Onwards and upwards. Daniel's wearing a helmet.
No, but give us a couple of, Thirsty Kyle, all seriousness, give us a couple of highlights from the wedding.
Nothing too crazy. The podcast got a few mentions. The theme song played on the dance floor during the podcast.
Do
we have video of this?
There might be. I don't know. We haven't got the video back yet.
The difference between Kyle and the rest of the world is that Kyle doesn't use Instagram. So some of these moments that are captured on Instagram, Kyle has bypassed in his life.
We had 200 people there, so I'm sure there's something somewhere that we'll track down. But that was fun. My brother shout out the podcast during the best man speech. It was a good time. It was a good time.
All right. Well, good. I like that. I love the 06010 getting love. We would have been there, but, you know, it was during football season. Why you had to get married in the middle of football season?
You really think I picked the date?
No, we do not. I actually think you picked the date, and you have hustled back.
Yes.
Nothing good comes from hustling, but you have somehow decided to hustle back, and we appreciate you and appreciate Marisa, and we appreciate your marriage, you guys. Congratulations to the happy couple.
Thank you very much.
Thrilled for you guys.
Congratulations to Kyle Soppy and Marisa. 13 years in the making and a lifetime of happiness awaits you. Including last night's win. Let's get right to it.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
So last night, the Packers do emerge victorious, 23-22. It was a game that, I won't say marred by controversy, but I understand why Lions fans are waking up this morning very disgruntled.
Yeah.
Because there were two, amongst others, two massive calls in the fourth quarter.
Huge.
Against Trey Flowers, illegal hands to the face, which he had never been called for in his career.
How many years has he played in the NFL?
This is his fifth NFL season.
Through 4 years and six games.
Yep. Never been called for
it.
Never been called for it. And yet twice in the fourth quarter, both times on very questionable calls at best.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers, not even questionable calls at best. Wrong calls. Blatant missed calls. Blatantly missed the call. Right.
And there's too much at stake. I mean, not to get on a whole ref rant. I'm sure ESPN, if you watch any of our programming today, I'm sure all of our shows will be discussing this, rightfully so. But there's too much at stake field in the NFL, and there's too much technology available.
Right.
Not to get this stuff right. That's the thing that boggles my mind. That truly boggles my mind. And the pass interference on the non-call pass interference on the long play to Marvin Jones. Like with the hand around his neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, I said two at minimum calls did not go in their favor.
Bad.
Can't control them, and I understand that Lions fans are frustrated. Unfortunately, the game is over. Like, it is now done.
I have no dog in that fight.
Right.
I'm a pathetic Redskins fan.
Yeah,
like, I literally don't care about whether the Packers or the Lions win. I'm agnostic to both teams. In all seriousness, like, the Lions got jobbed last night.
Can I really quickly, and I don't want to weigh in with Packers helmet.
I need you on camera.
There we go. Okay, thank you, Kenny. Good job taking the shot of Secret Squirrel for those watching live.
I will keep this short, okay? I am not a proponent of referees choose the outcome of games. I've never been that person. However, there are times when it feels like you have been a fan, and Matthew, I know you'll understand this. You've been a fan of a middling team for the majority of your life.
Yep.
And it's like you're just trying to get over the hump. You feel like there's finally a direction for your franchise. You're doing everything that you can to be able to put out a good product out there. And then to have something like this happen, and it doesn't just happen to the Lions. It happens to everybody across the NFL. But there is so much going on where it's like, what else are we supposed to do? Like you struggle and you fight to be able to have this fandom, and it takes the joy away from the game. When you see games end like that for these fans that have been fans of these teams that have been mediocre at best for so long, we don't need that. You don't need that.
The NFL has an officiating problem. No. I don't like to gripe over issues too much when I don't have an obvious solution.
That's because you're pretty, Field. All right? Can be pretty.
That's true.
Like you.
That's true. Like if you look like Daniel I, you're used to griping.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, right, exactly. On Nantucket with great genes, you know, genetically gifted over there on Nantucket, you know, and your name's Field. You know,
I don't like to gripe about things I don't have a perfect solution to, but it's clear there needs to be some sort of modification to how the NFL is officiated. And I don't have a perfect answer. We've heard people like Trey Wingo talk about a sky judge. We've heard people talk about making every single play reviewable. We've heard people talk about making zero plays reviewable to make this a totally human element game and take away technology entirely. I don't know the perfect solution, but last night the Lions got jobbed. So let's discuss.
They really do. Hey, just do me one more favor. Again, for everyone watching live, when you watch live on Twitter at Fantasy Focus or our ESPN's YouTube channel, the Facebook page for ESPN Fantasy, or in the ESPN app, you can see this. But Secret School, you're sitting there wearing a Packers helmet. Just do me a favor. Just repeat after me. Blue 18. Just could you just say that for a couple of times?
Just
do that for me. Just do that for me. Just go ahead.
Blue 18.
There you go.
Blue 18.
Hut.
Hut. Hut.
That is so good. You two look amazing. You look really good, Daniel.
Really
good. You look kind of like,
a little Aaron Rodgers-ish.
No, a little Jay Kumerow-ish, to be honest with you,
because
Kumerow's got the big beard and the long hair. Your hair is not long, but your beard is rather bushy today, you see.
Right, but Daniel also, like, the beard's a little bit bushier, but Aaron Rodgers has a beard. And you look, Daniel's got kind of the buggy eyes, you know? Exactly.
A lot of people say that we have the same personality, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Aaron Rodgers is tatted up just like Daniel.
Just like me.
All right, so let's get into the fantasy implications from last night. Somewhat as expected last night for the Lions. Matthew Stafford, 11.5 fantasy points. Most of his passing yards came in the first quarter last night, 168 passing yards, back-to-back long throws to open up drives. Great.
Yeah, it was great.
Kenny Golladay on the very first play of the game, 65 yards off of a flea flicker. Stafford remains a quarterback that, unless you're playing in the two-quarterback league, is not going to be on your radar.
Yeah.
Kerryon Johnson, I thought was fine, Matthew. I know the yards per carry was not great, but the workload was solid. 15 total touches, 14.1 fantasy points, and importantly, he got the goal line work. He plunged in on that fourth down conversion for a touchdown early on in the game.
And I wonder if Kerryon Johnson, believe it or not, actually could be a little bit of a buy low here. So, like, you sit there, you know, whatever. He had 14 fantasy points in this one, 14.1. I think he's running back 22 or 23 on the season.
Okay.
But this is why I say he's a little bit of a buy low, right? So you sit there and you're like, he's running back 22 or 23 on the season. He's missed a game. Right.
Confirmed.
So he's running back 23 on the season, and he's done that while missing a game. So he's had one less game because he's had the bye, while the majority of running backs have not. And so I think you got to see that, and you'd be like, but like, again, double-digit fantasy points, I think, in pretty much every game so far this season. You know, I don't know. Like, he's a very talented player. They're going to continue to be run heavy, and so I think their schedule gets a little bit easier. I think Kerryon Johnson's a little bit underrated in fantasy circles right now.
I'm okay with
and
that.
And so, you know, and listen, 13 for 34, two catches for 27. The underlying numbers don't look great. The offensive line did not play well last night as well. You know, in fact, they haven't played that well so far this season, but I don't know. I think he's a talented player. There's not a lot of competition for touches, and things do get better for this Lions offense, I feel.
I'm with you on that. We actually saw Jamal Agnew get some run last night on offense, so there really isn't a clear-cut backup. Like, Ty Johnson got some burn, Jamal Agnew in a couple of reverses,
McKissick
got some run. So, Kerryon should be a workhorse going forward.
I don't think Kerryon Johnson, when you think about sort of the workhorse backs, sort of the guys that get, you know, all the work, the Dalvin Cooks of the world, right? The Barclays of the world. I'm not saying he's as good as those players, but workload wise, in terms of volume, he's right there.
Sure. Yep.
And so I just don't know that he's thought about it. I don't think people appreciate him. I think he's a better fantasy asset than his current sort of reputation, if that makes sense, within the fantasy community.
Good night for Kenny Golladay, 5 for 121. We mentioned 65 of those 121 yards came on the opening play from scrimmage for the Lions. It's been solid all season. He has at least 8 targets in every game this season. He's locked in as like a top 15 to 20 wide receiver basically every single week, absent a really incredibly difficult matchup. Marvin Jones, not a great night when you look at the box score, 2 for 17, but as you mentioned earlier, like, if that pass interference call that probably should have been called resulted in a catch instead, the tenor of this Marvin Jones night might be a little bit different.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and they took some shots to him that just didn't come, you know, that just didn't get there. I would be, you know, I would be encouraged. I wouldn't be discouraged. Let me rephrase that.
I agree.
I would not be discouraged. If I had Marvin Jones on my team, I would not be discouraged after last night's performance. Again, they just sort of missed. He's had double digits, I think, in 3 of their 5 games so far this year, off
he's
the top of my head.
Yeah.
He's been fine.
Nobody from the Lions is either over or underperforming relative to my expectations of them in a major way so far this season. That includes TJ Hockenson, 4 for 21 last night, but he came this close to a touchdown on a third down fade. If he catches that, we're talking about 5 for 22 with a touchdown.
Sure.
It's 13.2 points. You're saying, great. Sounds awesome.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Should have had it. And that's another one that, by the way, it's sort of like, he caught it. He came down. It's the whole completing the catch thing. It wasn't until he hit the ground that the ball sort of squirted out. And
another,
like,
one of those didn't go in the Lions' favor, huh?
Completing the catch.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like one of those weird things where it's just sort of like, I get why Hockenson's play was not called a touchdown. I completely understand that. But I just sort of understand. It's one of those weird rules where it's just like if you're a running back, as long as you cross the plane, right? It's a touchdown and the ball gets popped out. Doesn't matter. He crossed the plane, right? He doesn't have to, quote, complete a running move.
Right.
Like, the minute it crosses the plane, boom. And so I sort of feel like he's got possession. The minute his feet are down in the end zone, that's a touchdown.
Sure.
And the fact that he then falls to the ground and the ball squirts out feels like that should be irrelevant. The minute his feet hit the ground with possession of the ball should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I understand what the rule is. I'm not saying that they misinterpreted the rule. I get it. I'm just saying, like, feels like the rule should reflect that Hockenson's play would have been a touchdown. And a lot of plays like that, we see that. It's just, it's weird to me. It seems inconsistent with how they score running plays as touchdowns.
But no touchdown for Hockenson resulted in another field goal attempt for Matt Prater, who was absolutely nails last night. 21 fantasy points for Matt Prater, 5 for 5 on field goals, including 2 from 50 plus. This guy absolutely owns Lambeau Field. You may remember that last year in December, he threw a touchdown pass. Pat McAfee with an absolutely legendary call on the broadcast. Probably my favorite play-by-play of all time.
I probably helped him get the job here at ESPN, that
he
call.
He is the man. So yes. Matt Prater is money in the bank at Lambeau Field. Just a solid kicker. We respect the
heck
out of that.
By the way, and Daniel Dopps, Madden buddy Matt Prater.
Is that right? That's right. Daniel, you guys are buds.
Yeah, we played Madden together when we were at the Alliance facility. He was a good dude.
Is he?
Yeah.
Not surprised by that.
Should we, just out of curiosity, go ahead and, Kenny, just go ahead and stand that shot of Daniel. Do you think we should send Matt Prater, your friend Matt Prater, a shot of you wearing
Lord,
Packers helmet?
Please no. I already feel sick to my stomach.
Kenny, just do
this.
Me a favor. I just need you to take a screenshot of this and send it to me so I can share this on social. That's our director, Kenny, of course, Big League Chew. Just do me a favor. Just, if you can, just send a screen, just take a screenshot of this and send it to me if you can. I'd like to share it on my various social platforms. Field, would you like to share it on your social platforms?
More the merrier, right?
There you go. At Field Yates, at Matthew Berry TMR.
You know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement for a new week builds, like right now?
Dude,
you
do
flex
I ever.
Your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. What if I told you that you could use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day? Every day. Because TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training platform that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. Moving along to the Green Bay Packers, who Aaron Rodgers, pretty solid night last night with some very unfamiliar wide receivers, at least to those of us who don't actually play for the Packers. 18.3 fantasy points last night, Matthew. So the question is, I think, all right, you're encouraged that Aaron Rodgers had a good night with a very hodgepodge group of wide receivers, right? Darius Shepard and Alan Lazard, amongst others, because Geronimo Allison got hurt in the middle of this game. Devontae Adams was already out. Jimmy Graham looks like a shell of himself right now. So maybe you're encouraged because you're like, if Aaron Rodgers can do it with those players,
sure.
Imagine what
and
he could
getting
be going
some drops,
forward,
right? I mean, yeah, again, it could have been like, you know, Aaron Jones with a drop, Jimmy Graham with a drop.
Sure,
right?
I mean, Aaron Jones had a wide open touchdown he dropped. Darius Shepard had a catch that he probably could have made, but the 2-yard line that instead is a pick,
right,
that goes the other way, which cost Aaron Rodgers
two points. Yep.
So, are you encouraged by what you saw and think that this could be the sort of the moments where everything turned for Aaron Rodgers, or are you saying to yourself, "Gosh, I know the matchups get better going forward"? But who on earth is he throwing to?
So there's a little bit of that because hopefully he gets Devontae Adams back soon. But Lazard had a nice, kind of a nice moment there. But there's literally no one. Like an MVS had one great catch, but like there was no one yesterday that you said like, wow, you feel good about his pass catching core outside of Devontae Adams. You really don't. You really don't. And Jerron Mileson left this game early as well, but still you don't. And it's interesting. I will say that on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, Mike Clay talked about regression was coming for Aaron Jones. That Aaron Rodgers. Mike Clay said that he thought regression was coming, positive regression to the mean was coming for Aaron Rodgers, and that he thought he was a buy low.
Sure.
And so I said, like, yeah, do I expect him to only have, six touchdowns through 5 games? Like, no, for the next 5 games. No, obviously. But it not a great receiving core. It's not, by the way, a pass friendly offense, right? It's still a run heavy offense. Now they got down, not super big, but they were down in this game. So they had
15 nothing.
They were down a little bit and then they had to make the rally to come back as well. And then you look at their upcoming schedule. Okay. Home to Oakland next week. So, to me, I think that's a so-so matchup. not a great matchup. Raiders feel like they're playing a little bit better.
Well,
they've had 2 weeks to prepare.
If there's no Devontae Adams and no Geronimo Allison, then so.
At Kansas City.
Feel good about that one.
In theory, that should be a good matchup in theory. So at the Chargers.
Yep.
Maybe. Who knows? Hard to say. Home to Carolina. Don't love that matchup.
Nope. Don't love that one.
Bye in week 11.
Don't like that one.
At San Francisco in week 12. Don't like that one.
Don't like that one at all. Yeah.
Okay, then it's good in the heading into the playoffs. At the Giants in week 13, home to the Redskins week 14. You love that, but week 15.
Hold on.
But hang on for a second. Here's the fantasy playoffs. Here's how you end the season.
I know.
Week 15 home to Chicago. Week 16 at Minnesota. Week 17 at Detroit. So I think it is a middle of the pack schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah. Listen, I will. I'm totally there. One thing I will say is I see what you're saying, right? Is I'm totally with you on the schedule being difficult later on in the season. I think we need to look at like these schedules in like a little bit of a shorter window. Like
sure.
Because like yeah, that's great. Like the fantasy playoffs stink, but like it may be about getting there sooner, right? I mean like getting like before you even get to the worry about the fantasy playoffs, like there's nothing about that schedule before then that says layup after layup after layup. So I think when I pose the question about like, are you more in the camp of like, hey, the schedule kind of lets up and he did this with, you know, a hodgepodge of wide receivers. I described them earlier. Or are you kind of nervous because like the wide receivers may not be great going forward and the schedule's not great. Like, I think we're still sort of worried about Aaron Rodgers going forward.
Yeah, listen. So he had 283 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, one of the touchdowns was that little touch pass, that little shovel pass to Jamal Williams. Quote unquote shouldn't really count as a touchdown pass. It obviously does. On the other hand, Aaron Jones needs to make that catch.
Sure.
Right? Good luck and bad luck both ways. But I think this is about right. Like 283, 2 touchdowns and a pick. That sounds like about right what you would expect for Aaron Rodgers going forward, which is fine. But that's not Aaron Rodgers. That's not what we expected from the number two or number three quarterback that was taken in most fantasy drafts. Like that's solid. That's above average production.
I agree.
But I know that's something like, again, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game.
Sure.
He is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
But in terms of fantasy production this year, like, I think he's, if I were ranking for the rest of the season, Aaron Rodgers would be somewhere in the 8 to 12 range.
Right. Yeah. No, I would think that's fair. Yeah. Not part of the elite crew, which I think right now includes Mahomes and Watson and Russell Wilson and maybe Matt Ryan because of how many passing yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about fair.
Like, so he had 18.3 fantasy points last night. We just said, like, that's about right.
Yep.
That'd be QB10 right now.
Sure.
If you average 18.3.
Now, there's some quarterback injuries, obviously, and some other quarterbacks that have their own receiver question marks. But, yeah, 8 to 12 sounds about right for Aaron Rodgers the rest of the season.
He's fine. And, again, I don't think that he used to be. Here's what I would say. Like, week 12 at San Francisco, week 15 home to the Bears, like, week 9 maybe at the Chargers. We'll see what the Chargers do over the next couple of weeks. Like, Aaron Rodgers used to be one of those, it doesn't matter who he's playing. You're starting Aaron Rodgers, set it and forget it.
Yep.
And I don't think he's that guy anymore. Like, and I don't think it's his fault, but I would say that like I would not feel great about starting him at San Francisco in week 12.
Sure. No, I of course not. Number one pass in terms of passing yards per game, number two in the league, maybe even number one in terms of passing yards allowed per game. No longer a quarterback that I think is like a league winner, right? Which in previous seasons, he has had weeks where he could be a serious week winner and a league winner if things break right for the entirety of the season. Let's get to the running backs, Matthew, because there were some interesting moments last night. Jamal Williams actually plays more than Aaron Jones, 36 to 34. Now, Aaron Jones drops a touchdown pass wide open.
Wide open.
In the mittens.
Like, there's no...
Beyond that.
You know me. I love Aaron Jones. Yeah. I can't defend it.
But it was also...
Like,
he fumbled
Aaron
last
Jones's
night,
hands,
right.
Apparently.
He also fumbled last night.
Yes, he did. He had
so,
a bad fumble.
Two bad plays. Two really bad plays. And Jamal Williams, as I mentioned, played more than Aaron Jones. Part of it, I think, is the game script, right? They're down by 13 points. But Jamal Williams is also good. Like, we have talked about this. Part of the reason why free Aaron Jones exists is because Jamal Williams has been playing so much that you're like, why are we not getting more of Aaron Jones? Jamal Williams has shown, now he has had moments for like 5 games where you're like, how the heck is this guy playing as much as he does?
Right.
He's also had moments where he's played for like 5 games and you're like, whoa, this guy's pretty good here. So
yeah.
Aaron Jones last night, I mean, is this just a 1 week aberration? Do you still think this is a clear cut? He is the guy in the Green Bay backfield. Are you nervous? Are you wishing you had, sold high after last week? What do you make of these two players in tandem in that Green Bay backfield?
I think Jamal Williams is going to play enough to be annoying. If you have Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
I agree. I think the presence of Jamal Williams makes Aaron Jones an RB2, not an RB1.
Yep.
I think given the right circumstances, if he were truly free, he could be a top 10 fantasy running back.
Yep.
And he's just not. Having said that, I was encouraged by a couple of things here. I'm speaking about Aaron Jones now. He came back into that game. I mean, like, Aaron Jones came back into the game. Ultimately, he finishes he gets 4 receptions for 13 yards. Not great, but still, like, 7 targets. Like, he actually tied Geronimo Allison in terms of targets in the game. He got 11 runs. Like, the fact is that after the fumble and the drop, they still came back to him. Jamal Williams played more, but it wasn't like we have seen in other scenarios, other coaches be like, like LeSean McCoy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy fumbled and we never saw him again.
Yep.
There are some coaches that do that. And so the fact that Matt LaFleur was not that guy.
That was a good sign.
Good sign. And so my expectation, like when I do my rankings for week 7, I will have Aaron Jones ranked ahead of Jamal Williams.
Yep.
So, but Jamal Williams, yeah, absolutely. Like, I think you're right. In deeper leagues, I think Jamal Williams has some flex potential here. 14 for 104 on the ground. He had that 45-yard run, which, helped inflate that. But still, what was crazy to me is 4 for 32 in the passing game. Like,
sure.
He's not a guy that you typically see using in the passing game.
Jamal Williams?
Yeah, Jamal Williams.
He's had multiple catches in every game he's finished this season. So he is a good,
they like him there.
Yeah, why he is playing in those sort of gotta-have-it situations when you pick up the tempo or you're playing from behind, because he is a very adept pass catcher.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they ran the jet sweep for him, and he scored on the touchdown.
Little
tap pass. And so, it's interesting. So real quickly, just in case anyone's wondering, Jamal Williams was started in 7.7% of ESPN leagues last night.
Yeah.
And obviously, at the end of the game, very smart heads-up football play, but just a killer for fantasy,
right,
where he takes a knee on the 2-yard line as the Lions were trying to let him score and not have the Packers run at the clock to kick the field goal to win it all. And so, that's tough. Like, shades of Maurice Jones-Drew, Todd Gurley,
Ryan Westbrook,
who did it most famously. And I got a ton of tweets, including a friend of the podcast, Nick Vial, who was the Bachelor, sent me a screenshot of his league. He's a hardcore Packers fan. He had some bye weeks, so he started Jamal Williams. He lost by 5.7 points.
Ooh, that would have been, ooh, boy.
And he had Jamal Williams in his lineup. So I got a lot of those that they lost by 5.5. Like, 5.7 is tough for our friend Nick. But on the other hand, Nick's a Packers fan. They won. He's also really good looking and was the Bachelor.
I was going to say,
Nick's okay.
Here's what I imagine happens. It's like, Nick is like, gosh, man, that really stinks. Like, not only, did I lose my fantasy matchup, but, a guy that I it would have been my team winning by even more over a division rival. I think he says to himself, like, I'm going to go do, make this okay. We'll look in the mirror for like 10 minutes.
Right.
It's like, stare in the mirror. Ooh,
go through my Instagram DMs.
Nice. Yeah.
So I've been out with, I'll just tell this. It's so funny. I have been out with Nick, and it's unbelievable. Like, because there's probably no person that I am friends with that's in the public eye where the disparity between our audiences is more vast. Like, so when Nick and I go out, like, if a dude stares, it's like somebody who knows who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then, like, but we walk and, like, a bunch of, like, 20-year-old girls will immediately turn and, like, look at him.
I don't get
right?
it. I'm,
they have
I'm
no confused. Idea who I am, obviously, I'm, but they exactly
really?
Know who, yeah, Nick's the Bachelor.
But you were in the Avengers, Matthew. How do they not know who you are?
Yes.
You're the talented Mr. Roto. Like, does that not sell in the streets?
Hand over the case, Stark.
There you go. Well done. No, but anyway, so it's just hilarious because it's like, We walk in somewhere and it's clear. It's very clear who knows who or what. I don't know.
One of these days, it won't take us 25 minutes to get through the Monday Night Football games. Let's just put a bow on it with the Packers wide receivers. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 2 for 48 last night. Geronimo Allison was fine prior to getting hurt. He had a couple of drops, but he had some production. He got hurt with a chest and I believe was evaluated for concussion as well. We don't know if he'll be available this upcoming week, which is part of the reason why Alan Lazard, who was in training camp with the Packers, had a nice showing, went to Iowa State, he was great there, was cut, landed on the practice squad, promoted again last night, had a massive fourth quarter, 4 for 65 and a touchdown last night. Much of that production came in the fourth quarter. Matthew, though, I still think what we've learned is that if you're not Devontae Adams, I'm not trusting you if you're a Packers pass catcher.
100%, and that includes Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Even in our... in our tight end desolate world.
Right.
Like, what happened to Jimmy Graham? I don't mean to be mean, but, like, that was a tough game. A tough game where they needed somebody like Jimmy Graham to step up.
Sure,
And they ended up winning. And so, listen, Aaron Rodgers said in the post-game press conference, had a lot of nice things to say about Lazard and talked him up to Lisa Salters as well, and just about how, that that like they sit next to each other and in the room and everything like that. And so he sees his preparation and knew he was ready for the big moment. I don't know how much of that is 2020 hindsight,
sure.
You know, and talking up a player that had a big night. But I'm with you, Field. I mean, so we're about ready to get into free agent fines. Does any Packers pass catcher make your list?
They do not. Jamal Williams does for deeper leagues, but none of the Packers pass catchers. So we'll talk about the guys that actually do make the list in just a minute. It just hasn't been, listen, no one's really stepped into that role that we had hoped. The number two wide receiver role in Green Bay has been sort of an eyesore right now for fantasy football. I know Packers fans are wishing they had made more of an investment in wide receivers, but they've tried. They drafted three last year, and it just hasn't been that anybody has truly emerged in a way that they can be considered a reliable part of either the Packers offense or your fantasy football roster.
Yeah, some of these guys will have good games here, but I'm with you. I can't imagine trying to roster one of them and hope. It's Davante Adams or bust in terms of consistent fantasy value among Green Bay Packers pass catchers. Field, you are the author.
Soon. Hold on. Before we get to the free agent fines, we're going to enjoy this lovely video from a show that I watch often on ESPN+. Some say it is starring a guy who wears a Packers fan Packers helmet from time to time. It's the Fantasy Show, led by, of course, Matthew.
He's Field Yates.
You told me before the show, don't say this is the part where Matthew becomes the host, and here we are, and you weren't taking it away.
Oh, sitting there silently waiting for...
Never mind. It's fine. This is true. 100%. So... I was gonna say, like, I'm taken aback by the fact that Daniel's mom is on Twitter.
She follow you?
She does.
Ooh,
so
not me.
At Dot Mama, MAMA.
Should I take it personally that she doesn't follow me?
Does she not?
Doesn't follow me? Should I take that personally, Daniel, or no?
I don't think so. I don't think my dad would be pleased if she saw all those shirtless photos of
fair.
You. Field.
Okay. That's fair.
Fine.
Anyway, want to give her the 06010 bump. So at Dot Mama, MAMA, is there on the Twitter. So good to see that. She's not happy with me for me focusing on Daniel in his Packers helmet here. But Field Yates, you are the author of Free Agent Fines, which is available now on ESPN.com. I'm a company man. And Fantasy Trends is brought to you by our friends at TD Ameritrade.
That's right.
Fantasy Trends brought to you by TD Ameritrade. And there's a trend that Hunter Henry is balling out.
That's right, Matthew. And there is a clear-cut, obvious number one priority on the waiver wire. Maybe on other sites, Hunter Henry is not available in more than 50% of leagues. But before people bark back at me and say, yeah, Hunter Henry is not available in my league, what kind of league do you play in? I'm telling you, he was available as of this morning in 51.3% of leagues. So a lot of people have the opportunity to go out there and grab themselves Hunter Henry, 30 fantasy points this past week. No need to state it more than that, Matthew. He's a stud. It's really hard to find tight ends. Do yourself a favor. At least go look. Maybe he slipped through the cracks because he missed those four games due to injury.
We've talked about this before, but if you've been holding on to your number one waiver claim, he is worth it. If you've been holding on to your fab, he is worth spending, you know, a lot on him, if not all of it. So I don't know that you're going to have a player at a position as scarce a tight end with the potential of Hunter Henry come into the league and
agreed
be available in your league.
That.
So if he's out there in yours, go hard and heavy to get yourself some Hunter Henry. All right. But if Hunter Henry's already rostered or somebody outbids you or has a higher waiver claim than you, you still need a tight end, there's another guy out there as well.
I like Chris Herndon a lot, Matthew. I think this is going to be a player that fans are reminded quickly of how promising he was at the end of last season and really for much of his rookie year when I know the Jets were miserable offensively and I know that Sam Darnold had his typical rookie lumps, but Chris Herndon played really well. He served a four-game suspension. And then before he could be activated onto the roster, he hurt himself while getting back in shape, hamstring issue that cost him last week. And it may cost him this week too, Matthew, which I'm fine with because I wouldn't be super enthusiastic about playing a tight end against the Patriots because
yeah, sure.
I don't want to play anybody against the Patriots. But Chris Herndon caught 71.1% of the passes that he saw from Sam Darnold last year at 14.1 yards per catch. And then we talk about that week 9 through 14 schedule for the Jets. It is remarkable. The Dolphins are on there twice. You've got the Redskins. You've got some very generous defenses that I think they're going to be able to move the football against. I like Chris Herndon. I understand that it's hard to roster two tight ends. The problem is I think there's a chance
he might not be available in sharper leagues if you don't pick him up this week. I think in very competitive, active leagues, he will either already be gone or gone after this.
I would agree with both of those statements. Real quickly, just because I saw some news about this. I know he didn't make the column, but just to address it, your thoughts on Ben Watson re-signed by the New England Patriots. Any fantasy value there?
I'm thinking no, not yet. And I think part of the reason why he was released last week was just not being fully up to speed, and I should say not being the player he was earlier in his career, which I get it. That's what Father Time does to you. Just not convinced there's a ton of fantasy value there right now. We'll see how much he plays for the Patriots, if he even does play on Monday night against the Jets.
We're talking about tight ends. These are names for deeper leagues, not necessarily 10-team leagues, but if you're in deeper leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so deeper leagues, two names I want to put on your radar in terms of tight ends. Josh Oliver, the tight end in Jacksonville, rookie, got a lot of buzz in the preseason, then got hurt, but James O'Shaughnessy is out. Jeff Swaim did not do much with his opportunity this past week. So I think Josh Oliver in a deeper, much deeper league. And also, I think, I don't know, Ryan Izzo continues to, of the Patriots, again, we talked about
a couple catches,
in a super deep league, maybe worth taking a flyer. I don't know that I'm starting him anytime soon, but I don't know. I like what little I've seen of Ryan Izzo so far, and I wonder if Coach Belichick and Coach McDaniels feel the same way. Let's move to the running back situation now, Field, and there's still some guys out there that are getting some run.
Yeah, the topper of this week's waiver wire column is that you should really pay attention to the waiver all week, because when a column went up last Monday afternoon, we had zero intel, as far as I know, that Todd Gurley was dealing with a quad issue and that David Johnson was dealing with a back issue. Malcolm Brown and Chase Edmonds, who I'll talk about in succession right now, had basically their value emerged Wednesday when it became clear that Todd Gurley had a quad issue that might cost him the game and that David Johnson had a back issue that did not cost him the game, but still, like, there was at least the threat of David Johnson not playing. So with Malcolm Brown, I know it was not particularly inspiring. 11 carries, 40 yards. Darrell Henderson had 9 carries. Henderson is also on the column, just tucked down a little bit further because Brown got more carries, got the goal line work, and, you know, I still think that part of the value for Brown, and we talked about this yesterday, is Todd Gurley plays on Sunday, and, like, the value for both Brown and Henderson as standalone plays is gone, but we still feel as though if Gurley were to get hurt again, and it was a prolonged stretch, it would be Malcolm Brown's job first. It would not be Darrell Henderson's job first, even though Henderson had way more juice on Sunday. Like, they like Malcolm Brown. He's steady. He's reliable. He's sort of a north-south, no-nonsense runner.
100% agree. I will say, though, Henderson, like, again, it was just a couple of plays, but you mentioned the juice. Like, you just saw it just eye-popping.
No question. One guy looked like he was shot out of a cannon. One guy looked like he was, you know, a backup running back.
That's right. And so, I don't know. Henderson is somebody like I have Henderson, and I'm in three dynasty leagues. I have Henderson in one of them. I wish I had him in the other two.
That's right.
So I got beat to him in those other two leagues. But yeah, I think he's an interesting guy.
And then Chase Edmonds also. Yep. People know the story on Edmonds. Played actually a decent amount this past Sunday. I think we actually saw a little bit of him and David Johnson on the field together at the same time. Back injuries are not the kind of things that tend to heal quickly. I know David Johnson played this past Sunday. No concern about him missing this Sunday. Just kind of a reminder that he's already got a little bit of standalone value. So they are finding touches for him for an offense that all of a sudden is clicking a little bit. And if something happened to David Johnson, we think this is a top 15 running back for the rest of the season.
100%. Scored a touchdown. Chase Edmonds did this past Sunday. So even if you started him, even with David Johnson active, he paid off for you. And I actually think, again, depending on your situation and what you're dealing with this week in terms of injuries and bye weeks, like, use your waiver this week, because it's not a great waiver week. To sort of fortify your bench in terms of handcuffs, because we've seen this, right? I mean, we've talked about this. Like, if I had Ezekiel Elliott, I would want Tony Pollard.
Right.
If I had Dalvin Cook, I would want Alexander Mattison. Like, we've talked about this. Chase Edmonds. Like, if I had Alvin Kamara, give me some Latavius Murray. Now, Alvin Kamara got banged up, ended up playing last Sunday, but I think he got hurt a little bit more in that game as well. Wouldn't surprise me to see Alvin Kamara wind up on the injury report this week as well. And I'm not saying there's any chance he misses this Sunday's game, but I'm just, you know, like, you don't feel great about that. And so, you know, in cases where it's a talented offense and you know clearly who the guy would be if the starter got hurt.
Yep.
Rykel Armstead in Jacksonville. Like, I would want those handcuffs.
I feel the same way with you on that. So always have handcuffs in mind. I move forward to a wide receiver right now,
yes,
Matthew.
Sir.
Mr. Auden Tate.
Hey now.
Of the Bengals, 7th round pick a year ago, Florida State, big physical wide receiver. I get it. They are a tough watch offensively right now, but unless and until A.J. Green returns, and maybe even if A.J. Green's on the field, Auden Tate's got a role. He's playing a ton of snaps, and our friend Joe Goodberry, who I consider an authority on Bengals coverage, posted a clip of like every single one of his 5 catches this past week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was Tate like making catches harder on himself than they needed to be, but they all looked sweet. Like,
yeah.
He's clearly a physical freak who, if they can refine him like a piece of moldable clay, they may have found something here. There's not much right now that you can kind of grasp onto for hope in terms of young talent in the Bengals offense, but he's the guy. He's got 5 catches for 91 yards this past week on 12 targets. There's a lot of volume there. They're going to be bad. They're going to be down in most games. I would expect them to continue to feed Auden Tate because they have to.
Yeah, and you know what? The other thing about Tate that's sort of interesting is you mentioned like sort of a big body guy. He isn't. He's a wide receiver, obviously, but he kind of has a tight end physicality to him.
Right.
And so they've moved him around a little bit, and they've actually run him out of the slot some. And so you wonder if one of the reasons why Tyler Eifert, who's still healthy to this date, hasn't really taken off in as big a way as we kind of thought maybe he would, because with Eifert, it's always been health, not talent, is because of Auden Tate, that maybe he takes some of those tight end type plays, if that makes any sense.
I agree on that one. Yeah. No. I mean, he's middle of the field, perhaps some of the targets there. He's been interesting. So I'll bring it on home with Jacoby Myers of the Patriots, available in 99% of leagues as of right now. And we are recording this Tuesday morning. Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett are banged up. Heck, Julian Edelman is consistently listed as questionable during the week as well. The Patriots are like the Packers in a lot of ways right now. They are banged up at the receiving group, and it's a sort of an unfamiliar group of players. Obviously, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you can find ways, and the Patriots will continue to find ways. But Jacoby Myers, a guy who earned the trust of Tom Brady in the preseason, and as much as earning a roster spot is the goal, like earning the trust of the quarterback is so essential. We saw him last week.
Especially in New England.
No question. Especially in New England. 4 catches for 54 yards for Myers. And I was just saying how like Tate makes some like plays that look like, wow, like those are high-level catches. Myers, 4 catches, 54 yards on 4 targets. At least 2 of those were above average level catches. One that was on like the 2-yard line. Another one where he leapt over a defender, like basically sort of corralled it over his helmet. Like there's some natural ability there. I think if it's Edelman and Myers and fill in the blank as a third wide receiver, like Myers might have like top 40 wide receiver value in week 7 against the Jets.
Yeah.
It's a great matchup. The Jets have really struggled defensively. They have a ton of injuries. We'll see if CJ Mosley gets back, but even then, their secondary is a major area of vulnerability.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, the only problem with the Monday night game is obviously you're not going to know until probably the weekend.
Yeah, you may know
Dorsett
that someone,
or Gordon, right?
If those guys aren't practicing at all, then you may have a feel for which way it's trending at the very least.
Sure, but I agree with you. There's certainly upside there with Jacoby Myers.
Interesting guy to have in a dynasty league as well. Before
no
we get
doubt.
To some social questions, we've got a very important crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
I get the same kind of tweet almost every single day.
Okay,
Field,
what's that
which
tweet?
Which is, thank you for continuing to hammer the Fantasy Life app.
Nice.
Because I finally broke down and downloaded. I was sick of you pounding the table for it. And finally, and now I don't know how I lived without it. The alerts absolutely crush. I love the community as well. It's a 100% free app. So I have no idea why everyone listening to this would not just download it. It's a free app. Your phone has a billion free apps. And you know what? If you don't like it after 3 days, delete it. Whatever. Who cares? But I am telling you, give us a couple of days and you will become a smarter, more informed fantasy player and faster than the rest of your league, because we absolutely crush in terms of alerts, in terms of the contests as well. It's a lot of fun. The community, you can post in there and get start sit advice immediately, compete against your friends. You can have a private chat room, join one of the public chats as well. Seriously, just click around with it, you know, spend 10 minutes on it and see what you think. I promise you there's a reason why we are at 4.8 stars on the App Store. Go to fantasylifeapp.com to download it, or just go to the App Store in iOS or Android. So Fantasy Life app, I'm telling you, You will thank me later. I promise.
All right, Matthew, you've got a live read. I felt like it fit you real well because it's Old Spice. Emphasis on the old.
Hey-o!
Let's see. How's that helmet feel?
It doesn't feel good. To be honest, it's a little tight.
Is it
tight.
A little tight?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little tight.
Yeah.
So the longer I go, the longer I just sort of talk, the more time you have to wear on that. Because you have to wear that for the show.
Yeah.
So if we go to like 11:30, you're wearing it till 11:30.
Yeah, in theory, that's what would happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what a man does, Matthew. He pays off his bets.
That is true. You are a man.
Squirrel
There's no
always
question
pays his bets.
A squirrel always pays his bet. Appreciate that. At Mama Dop. Or is it at Dot Mama? It's at Dot Mama, right? It's at Dot Mama.
Yeah, Dot Mama.
At Dot Mama raised you well. Okay. Well, listen, this branded commercial segment has been brought to you by the official sweat protection of the NFL, Old Spice Sweat Defense, reminding you that rookie Montez Sweat has brought sweat into the NFL, which isn't cool, but the sweat-fighting power of Sweat Defense Spray definitely is. He just snuck right in under Old Spice's nose through the draft on TV. Not cool. So this season, don't forget that sweaty Montez Sweat, too sweaty for the NFL, even if he tells you it's just his name or whatever.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's rock.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
hello,
not cool, Keith.
Keith. What's happening?
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
What do you got for us, Keith?
Dominic wants to know, anything I should be concerned about for Keenan Allen? Three star games followed by three duds.
This is one of those, we talk about this frequently, but it's like, hey, star player who has like either a mini drought or a mini slump, and you're like, what, like, can you be worried about it? Sure. What can you do about it? Nothing. You're going to play Keenan Allen every single week.
And you're not, are you,
you can't trade him.
The only thing you can do it is you could try to sell him for 75 cents on the dollar. I'm not doing that.
So I feel the pain that Dominic is feeling right now. At the same time, just keep cranking it up.
Yeah. Trust the process with Keenan Allen.
Yep.
He'll ultimately be very good.
Wrinkle wants to know, is week six a sign of things to come?
His name's Wrinkle?
That's what I see here. Yeah.
Interesting.
Wrinkle.
Okay.
Yeah, you like that?
Was that one from Twitter? Is that from our YouTube page? Facebook? Where did we get Wrinkle?
This is from Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Wrinkle wants to know, is week six a sign of things to come for Austin Eckler?
Sadly, yes. I think. Sadly, I believe yes. The Chargers are stubborn with their belief in Melvin Gordon. He got a lot of the run. We talked about this yesterday on the show. He had the snap count edge. He had the rushing edge. They had the same number of catches. As much as we believe in the fantasy football community, there are a lot of times where what we want and what maybe the numbers of fantasy football tell you does not align with how coaches go with things. Aaron Jones last year, right?
Yeah. Free Austin Eckler. We have to start.
Can we start
free,
that up? Yeah. Free Austin Eckler.
Part of the problem here, of course, is that the offensive line of the Chargers is just
really
so brutal, really banged up. And
agreed.
I mean, the loss of Pouncey is, you know, a
it
big
stinks.
One.
Yeah. Another
it's a big one.
Yep.
So, yeah, look. I still think Eckler is a talented player and will be usable, but yes, the days of top five Austin Eckler, even top 15 Austin Eckler are likely over.
Next question is about Carlos Hyde and whether his recent production can be sustained.
So, sort of, right? So, I think part of the usage that he got against Kansas City was game plan specific.
Yeah.
Like, that's, as we talked about, that's the way to beat Kansas City, right? Keep Patrick Mahomes on the field, dominate time of possession, and just run the ball because they can't really stop the run. Having said that, though, this guy has not only gotten over 20 touches in consecutive games, but his touches have gone up each of the last couple of weeks. Like, there is a Carlos Hyde resurgence, and what's clear to me here, more importantly than anything else, is that Bill O'Brien and his staff believe in this kid.
They have a very simple set of instructions for Carlos Hyde. Protect the football, which he did not do this past week, by the way. He put it on the ground, but still, protect the football and run straight. That's pretty simple. Like, if you go watch them, like, they're not doing
a lot.
He can
do that.
And that's what he can do. Not very involved in the passing game. The misdirection stuff, the more fancy runs, those can be Duke Johnson's.
Yeah.
But Carlos Hyde's got a very simple role. And the offensive line, quietly, has been more reliable than we expected it to be after a really rough start to the season.
Last 4 weeks, so here's Carlos Hyde's touch count. 10, 16, 21, 27.
Yeah, it's workhorse stuff
against
right there.
The Chiefs. So, yes, I think legit RB2. I think a viable RB2 going forward, Carlos Hyde, which I can't believe I'm saying.
Lots of questions in here about tight ends, people who have two of them that are viable, and whether they should trade
one. I got two
tight
ends.
You got two tight ends? Is that what you just said?
You should have one, by
the
way.
Sorry, I needed a way in there.
Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks for that.
Nice job.
I think that helmet is squeezing his head.
A little bit.
Evidently.
Squeeze the funny out of him is that what's happened.
So I chose this question from J-Dubs, and he has, I have Hooper and Kittle. Who do you feel comfortable trading, and what should I expect in return?
So I would, you want to handle this one?
I feel comfortable trading either of them, really. I mean, you're talking about arguably the two best tight ends for the rest of the season. Austin Hooper leads the NFL in tight end catches with 42. He's on pace for nearly 1,300 receiving yards. I saw our friend JJ's Zachariasen tweet this earlier today. They play from behind. They have over 300 snaps on offense playing from behind as Atlanta. They're going to throw the ball a ton. Hooper is amazing. Hooper is a really talented guy. I've said this. I tweeted something to this effect, but I'm saying this. It's not a fantasy thing, but it's a reflection of what I think of him as a player. This is my October 15th prediction. I think Austin Hooper will sign the largest contract ever by a tight end this offseason. I think George Kittle will be the first one, and he'll set the bar, and I think Austin Hooper will get to the open market and either come very, very close to it or beat it.
Wow.
25 years old in March. Ridiculous production. If Jimmy Graham can make $10 million a year on the open market at the age of 29, Austin Hooper, watch out for that one.
Well, Thurston Gall throws this up on the screen. 291 offensive snaps and playing from behind for Atlanta this season. That is an NFL high. So, again, like Hooper, who last year very quietly was a top 10 fantasy tight end, now in a more pass-friendly offense, another year in the system as well, and you know, familiarity with Matt Ryan, I agree with you. So, honestly,
but, the only way I'm trading,
go ahead.
The only way I'm trading either one of those players is if you've got a significant need at running back or wide receiver, and or your league does not allow you to play tight ends in the flex. Because if you can flex your tight ends, just flex one of them. Flex one, start the other. Simple. Yeah.
So I guess to answer the question, you would want a strong RB2,
yes,
strong wide receiver.
Maybe even
Kittle,
more.
I think I'd want like a top 12 running back.
Yep.
Here's what I would say. Ranking the rest of the season, I prefer Kittle to Hooper. You would agree with that?
Yeah, by narrow edge, yeah.
I think it's close, but I would prefer Kittle to Hooper. So that's how I rank them. But I don't think the difference between the two of them is as significant as maybe their name value suggests. So I might see, like, if somebody's willing to offer you a lot more for Kittle than they are for Hooper, I would feel comfortable doing that deal for Kittle, you know what I mean, and feeling good about Hooper, just having Hooper as my tight end. Having said that, I agree with Field. I wouldn't be looking to necessarily sell. And if I did sell, I would want a premium because, again, there's literally like five usable tight ends out there. I would want a top 12 tight end, and I'd probably want like a top 12-ish wide receiver as well.
Yeah.
You know, or a top five quarterback if I was going to deal one of those guys.
Nick wants to know, James Conner or Le'Veon Bell rest of season?
Le'Veon Bell for me. Conner's run better of late for sure, but Le'Veon Bell, the workload is so significant right now.
Yeah.
Remember that schedule, 9 to 14.
I know. Here's my only fear on this. I agree with you just in a vacuum.
Guess, are you going to say Le'Veon Bell breaks down?
That's my fear. But I will say this. The last 2 weeks, James Conner keeps getting banged up. I mean, we've played six games, and I feel like James Conner has left the game with injuries like in three of them.
Yeah.
So it's just, and weirdly, I feel better about, it's all just one game, but I feel better about the Jets offense with Sam Darnold than I do about the Steelers under Mason Rudolph.
It's not a terrible thought.
You know what I mean? I would say Bell over Conner. Again, I'm super nervous about Bell breaking down, but honestly, through 6 weeks, Connor's been the more banged up of the two. So it's hard to lobby that criticism at Bell if we're talking about him versus Conner.
Two more questions here. One from Adam. Are you buying low on Mixon?
No.
The only way that I would be buying low on Mixon would be if I'm trading a bench player for him. That's it. Like if you're trading somebody that you start week to week, pass. Otherwise, if you want to trade a bench player, that's fine.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but
a bench player. Joe Mixon can sit on your bench too.
He's getting whatever. He's getting 13 carries a game, like behind a bad offensive line.
It's bad.
He's splitting touches in the passing game.
There's a lot of people in the chat there's a lot of Mixon chat in here, and a lot of them in the chat are saying, good luck trying to get something for him. Right? I've tried and I can't. Like, you know,
it's literally like in all seriousness, like I don't know. I wonder in a league, could you trade Joe Mixon for Matt Prater after last night? I'm dead serious about that. And I bet you there would be leagues where the guy that has Prater would be like, no.
No, I'm good.
No.
That's amazing.
I really want you know, or Justin Tucker, or like a really good kicker.
Right.
Joey Sly.
Guys that can hit it from 50 yards because that's a 5-point play for you right there.
Matt Prater absolutely won people their fantasy leagues last
100%
night.
100%
sure,
he did.
For sure he did.
100%.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, I mean, like, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it ain't. I mean, like, I've been in leagues where people just don't want to give up their really good kickers.
Yeah, I see.
Like, I don't think you could trade Mixon for the San Francisco defense right now, or the Patriots defense. Like,
no way.
Which, at the start of the year, would have been a crazy thought to think about.
Oh, without a doubt. Last one here is just from Everett. Another tight end related question. Darren Waller or Mark Andrews rest of season?
I guess Darren Waller for this reason. He's got one more game. He just finished up his bye. That you've got one more week of utility. You never have to replace him. That's about as simple of an argument as I can think of, and that's probably the tiebreaker for me.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, you guys know I love Waller the Ball. He's been my guy since February. But
also, Mark Andrews is always hurt right now. Now, he always plays, but it's like, doesn't that make you nervous that like one of these weeks it goes from like, hey, he's banged up on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but instead of playing on Sunday like he has in the past, oh, by the way, he's out for 2 weeks. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, and me as well. You know, the argument for Andrews is he's scored more. Waller has yet to get into the end zone,
mm-hmm.
and it's a better offense.
Yeah.
Like, it's just probably going to be more efficient, more
scoring
opportunities.
You want to bet me between Darren Waller and Mark Andrews?
No, because I'm definitely not betting against Darren Waller.
What are you, chicken?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it.
What, you can't do it, chicken?
Packer and a chicken.
I wanted them to roll tape. I just wanted to keep some rolling tape on you in a Packer helmet making chicken noises. But no, I'm not going to do that board bet only because I don't necessarily believe it. Like I said, I think it's super close between Waller and Andrews, and I'm not betting against Darren Waller. I love it, Darren Waller. Darren Waller's my guy. Darren Waller's my guy. I mean, like, the NFLPA, our friends at the NFLPA, they're always so gracious to us, you know, and they always try to celebrate players. They sent me a note asking if we would like player jerseys, what player jerseys we would like. And so, you know, I got them from everyone here on the show, and we all got them. I chose Darren Waller.
Nice.
Like, that was the jersey I wanted for the first time, and they've offered that many years in a row now. For the first time, I didn't choose a Redskin player.
Well,
Darren Waller.
Be fair, Matthew, there's not a lot of great Redskins.
Terry McLaurin.
To choose from.
I thought about Terry McLaurin.
You could have done the F1. That's
I thought about Terry McLaurin.
That's
I thought
a real
about
trade over here.
Yep.
Benedict Arnold. Over
I already
here.
Have a Darius Geis, but yeah, but no, I chose Darren Waller. That was the jersey I want. So I'm
where
not,
is
I'm
that
not,
loyalty?
I am not betting against my guy Darren Waller. Waller the baller.
Waller the baller. Mark Andrews, very close call. We are back on Wednesday with Mike and Starfania. We'll have plenty of injury updates. I'm sure Mike has something like Fantasy 32 or other stuff that we do on Wednesday. In the meantime,
free agent finds available now on ESPN.com.
Yeah,
check that out. 2 episodes of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Our waiver wire show is up today. Our Week 6 recap show is up from yesterday. So please be sure to check both of those out. At Keith Lipscomb on Twitter, follow him. At Daniel Dopp on Twitter, at Something to Break on Instagram, at Kyle Soppy ESPN on the Twitter.
Yep.
Congratulate him on his wedding. Soppy, of course, spelled S-O-P-P-E. You got to follow at Dopp Mama, D-O-P-P-M-A-M-A. Follow Daniel's mom and say nice things. Don't be mean to a mom on Twitter, you animals.
Yeah, if you are, I'll never speak to you again.
He's at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. Slide into my DMs there. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace out.
It's a Bill Barnwell world that we're living in. He's got the best pod, and the world should be listening. No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, Alliance fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.